everyone. Welcome to episode 62 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Annie.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. Today, it's Wednesday, June 13.
And we're back.
It's been a long time.
Yes.
I actually don't even know when we recorded last. It's been a long time.
I believe it's been more than a couple
beginning
of months.
Term.
But anyway,
yeah.
Most of our busy time is gone for now, so we're back to tell you about what we've been reading. So this week, we're going to catch up on all the stuff that we've been doing recently. And we're also, late after all that, we're going to play some Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit.
No one can judge me.
Look, it's been a while since I've read them as well. So we'll just see how we go.
Okay.
Call ourselves fans and make an attempt.
I am a fan, but I'm not one of the fanatical fans.
That's okay. We'll have to play against Sarah sometimes. She can wipe the floor with us.
Okay.
Okay. So today's podcast is brought to you by big cups of coffee and
cookies.
And choc chip cookies.
No tea.
And
not
if you
caffeine.
Would like to, if you'd like to feed our coffee addiction, and if you enjoy listening to our podcast, you can buy us a coffee by going to teainthetreetops.com and clicking on the button that says buy us a coffee. And it will take you to the coffee website. And we would appreciate it a lot.
Because we never too much coffee in our lives.
That's right. Okay, so there's been a few fun things that while you've been extremely busy.
Well, you got to experience some fun things. Yes. I did not experience fun things.
You had fun.
Yes. Yes, I have.
Learning about babies and stuff.
Yes. Not delivering any babies, but that's another issue for a whole different type of podcast.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, in the meantime, during April, I went to be a volunteer at Supernova at the Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, in the past, I've done volunteering up with the other guests, like the main kind of guest area. This time I was with the authors on the author table.
Awesome.
So that was lovely. I got to spend the whole weekend hanging around with Terry Brooks, Victoria Aveyard, and Maria Lewis and Lynette Noni and a bunch of other authors there.
That sounds awesome.
And I didn't sort of get a whole lot of time to talk to them in particular, but I got to talk to lots of different people who came to come get their book signed and met lots of people who I know through Instagram, but I'd never sort of met them in person before, so that was kind of cool. Got a few books signed. Got to see, I think, one panel on the whole weekend, and that was with Alan Tudyk, who is from Firefly, as we just said. He does a lot of voice acting now. He was in Moana. He was the chicken in Moana, and he was
the chicken
that had
a voice.
Yeah. Apparently.
Or something like that.
Yeah,
okay,
pretty much.
Right.
He does loads of other voice acting, lots of Disney movies. He was in Frozen. Like, he was the count guy, you know, the guy with the floppy hair.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
But anyway,
I've got Moana stuck in my head.
He's in loads of different stuff, but he was hilarious. His panel was so funny because it was a Q&A type panel.
Yeah.
Where he just answered questions, and then when people asked questions, he would give them, like, this random piece of junk out of his bag. So he had this, like, ticket stub for the latest Star Wars movie, and that he'd signed it, and then he gave it to them. Like, it was just random crap, like posters and stuff as well. But
does he earn as much as the voice of Peppa Pig, though? That is the real question.
I have no
She
clue.
Apparently has millions.
Oh, well, I suppose they made a lot of Peppa Pig episodes. So
Peppa Pig is pretty popular out there. Anyway, sorry, only parents probably know about Peppa Pig.
Yes. And thank you, lucky stars, up everybody else that you don't. But anyway, yes, I had a good time. This is where I got this Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit thing, which I thought was pretty awesome. So we'll give that a go. So the Supernova, I mean, there's a bunch of different guests for Supernova in Sydney and Perth, but the Sydney one is actually on this weekend, June 15 to 17. And the author guest of honour is Raymond E. Feist.
My high school years.
He's going to be in Brisbane next week.
Oh. I haven't read any Raymond E. Feist in a long time, but I loved Raymond E. Feist back in high school.
Yeah, I read quite a few of his books back then too.
I think I've read all of his books.
He's got a new one that's just come out recently.
Yes, no, I haven't read the new one, but I think I was looking at it. I was looking at reviews of it because I thought about doing it as an audio.
Oh, yeah.
But it's very long. And I thought maybe no.
Okay.
Well, it's longer than your standard YA because it is a fantasy.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, so next Tuesday or Wednesday is in Brisbane at the City Hall. So
maybe I should go and get one of my old magician books.
Yep.
From like 1992 or whenever I bought that and got it signed.
1992, I don't think it was 93. That long ago.
No, it would have been. It was the beginning of high school I read them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, would you just aged yourself there?
I did. That's all right. That's all right.
Anyway, yeah, that's on this weekend in Sydney and Perth in a couple of weeks. I think maybe next weekend in Perth. I'm not sure. I have to check that one. So also during May, we had at Southbank the Brisbane Writers Festival put on a sort of mid-year Love Ya Festival.
Yes.
So
didn't go to.
Yes, that's right. It was like on a particularly cold, windy May day, which doesn't usually happen in Brisbane, but it did this time. It was a beautiful day, but really cold. Sitting in this open flow state, which is down the southern end of South Bank, like near the Maritime Museum kind of end.
I don't ever go down that end.
It's a quiet kind of area, but it was because it's all open. This flow state thing's just open on the sides.
So it's freezing.
So the wind was just howling through there. It was so cold. But there was a bunch of different panels across the day with Aussie authors. So Paula Weston, Kath Crowley, Steph Bow, Ellie Marnie, and also there was a panel about blogging and like BookTube with Jean and Piera from their perspective. Well, it was mainly for the, you know, reviewing in general.
Yeah.
So that was really awesome, and met up with lots of the usual Brisbane crowd there. So that was really good fun. What else? So the real Brisbane Writers Festival, the actual festival will be in September.
During the River Festival,
program,
generally, isn't it?
Yeah. So the children's section program has like the wordplay, I think it's called, has been released.
Yep.
And, okay.
So Fleur Ferris is going to be there. Dr. Carl.
Veronica Roth is the headliner.
Oh, Veronica Roth.
Okay. And we've got Callie Black, who is a high profile.
Claire Atkins, that name sounds really familiar. Do you know who I'd like to
meet? Jessica Watson is that girl who sailed around the world.
Yeah, do you know who I'd like to meet, but she's not in here?
Yeah.
And that's Jessica Townsend, who did Nevermore.
Oh, yeah.
She's an Aussie. Why is she not at any of these events?
She's from the Sunshine Coast.
So why is she not at any of these events?
Maybe she'll be in the main program.
She's keeping a recluse.
She might be in the main program. But anyway, these are just the wordplay people. So the full event, you know, program,
yes,
is available on the bwf.org.au site. So go and have a look. It's the 6th to the 9th of September for that. I think the wordplay part is in the week before that weekend. Like it's in the few days before the actual festival, and it's mainly for school groups. But you can buy tickets, individual tickets, if you want to see that. But the main program will be coming out soon too. So yeah, lots of fun stuff going on. Now, the other thing that I went to not too long ago was the launch of Lifelike by Jay Kristoff.
Did not get to go to anyway.
So that was really cool. And it was hosted by our friend Jean Wong from Happy Indulgence. So she did a fantastic job at asking him lots of interesting questions and chairing the session. And there was this enormous line to get books signed because he you know, likes to chat to everybody. So that was fun. We spent another hour standing in the line waiting for books to get signed, but that was cool. Got to meet up with the usual crowd, so that was all. And then I read the book after that as well, and it was really, really good. So the name of the book club, which is the new book club that Jean and Pierre have put together, actually met him again the following night for their meeting.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to go, but it was two nights in a row, and it was just a bit
too
much for me.
So it's also just hard with kids to negotiate.
Yeah, it is.
Days off. Who's going out when? I don't know. I feel like it's a balance.
Yes, it is. But anyway, so yeah, that was really good fun. I'll talk about it. Should I talk about Life Like Now quickly while we're
starting? Because it's one of your read resources.
Yeah, I haven't read that much lately when I've been finishing all my uni stuff. So Life Like, it's a post-apocalyptic America set in sort of the LA area where there's been earthquakes and nuclear war and all sorts of stuff. So basically, the land is all gone and there's just this island, which is, I think, I can't remember what it's called now. It's called like the Dregs or something like that. And
sounds glamorous.
The rest of the country is all wasteland and stuff, so it's kind of cool. And there's a lot of
and the dregs androids. Are left on the island. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think the island is called the Dregs. I'm gonna have some look at this map now. There's a map in the front of it. Yeah, Dregs. There you go. So there's where LA is, and then
okay, Plastic Alley, beautiful.
The glass is like this radioactive wasteland. Oh. There's the desert. It's just covered. It's amazing. And so it's basically about, different, like, androids, and then there's cyborgs, so living things that have electronics incorporated in them. And then there's these, the lifelikes, who are androids, but they're made and programmed to be exactly like humans. There's not many of them.
Westworld.
It was like a... Well, I haven't seen Westworld yet. I know. Goodness. I said I was going to, but I just haven't had a chance to do that yet. And yes, I think it is similar to that. I'm not sure. But it was like a program that that got started and then it got abandoned because they were getting too kind of, you know, autonomous. Like, they were kind of making their own decisions. They were learning how to lie and all this stuff, and people got freaked out.
Sorry.
Yeah, and so they shut it down. So... Anyway, this girl Eve is lives.
Oh, very quaint her name for this.
Yeah, and she gets called Evie all the time, and I'm just like, oh, Evie.
That's well, I was dog. More thinking Adam and Eve. The world's broken. Is being remade. I don't know. Well, I don't know if it's meant to have that.
I got some
vibe to
I got
it.
Some
but
bookmarks from the launch.
Oh,
too.
Cool. Very cute.
And then they find she and her friend Lemon Fresh, who's her bestie. They find.
Does it just get shortened to Lemon?
Yeah.
Okay. Because Lemon Fresh is a pretty long name to say.
And they find Zeke, who's a lifelike. And then
he's like an android.
Love story. Yeah, so it's a love story
Says it's Romeo and Juliet meets
Mad Max. So it's like...
With a little bit of what? Meets X-Men with a little bit of Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Cheering from the sidelines. Well, that's...
It's a bit of a mouthful, but, you know, that's kind of what it's like. It's sort of exploring the... I guess the morality of a human and
being in love
and
with an android.
And if an android is programmed to behave like a human, are they really experiencing love, or are they just following their program? And, you know, it's interesting kind of
concept.
Is she
taking advantage of the...
Yes. So anyway, it's worth a read. I really enjoyed it. It's YA, so it's not like his usual blood and guts kind of...
I was going to say, because I just don't know if I can bring myself to read the rest of a Nevernight series. It's a bit...
It's pretty grim.
Gruesome and dry. Gruesome and dry? Is this more...
Yeah, this is... It's fast-paced.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's more fast-paced, okay.
Yeah, it's not as bloody as that, but it's... I mean, there's violence, there's sort of fast-paced action, but... And no kind of sex scenes or whatever like there is in the other ones, so...
See, that differs from Westworld because there's a lot of raping and pillaging and all the rest of it and the ethics around that.
Okay.
Considering, are they really, you know, do they have their own ability to think and take action for themselves?
Right.
Yes. Anyway.
I'm going to have to watch it at
some
stage.
Excellent. Season 2 is nearly finished. We haven't watched it yet, but
yeah,
you'll be able to binge-watch two seasons of it. Yeah.
Okay, good. I've been watching Magicians just quietly. So Magicians is it's a book by Lev Grossman.
Yes, no, I know. I remember. I think they took to this ages ago.
I think
it was
a trilogy.
Yeah.
And I haven't read it, and I keep meaning to now because
the
show is amazing.
Yeah, okay.
It's really good. I can't describe what it's about, but
okay.
Basically, it's kind of like Harry Potter, like a magic school.
No,
it's a university.
Yeah, I've seen this cover. I've had it in my want to read list.
Yeah.
For like,
Break Bills
why
is like
it
a.
Not gonna...
It's a magical university, and it's like Narnia like the other world, they go into this other world. Like, why I got to the end of the first episode and I just sat there and stared at my computer and went, oh, that was amazing.
Yeah, so, The Magicians. Here we go. By Lev Grossman. Yeah, I've had it in my want to read list for like years.
Yeah, well, apparently the
show. Oh, no,
the
I must have taken it back out again.
The show's a bit different to the book.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, it's got, you know.
Fillery, okay.
It's kind of like Hogwarts meets kind of Narnia, but with sex and drugs in it.
Cool.
It's a weird combination, but I love it. It's really good.
Yeah.
I'm up to the end of the second season. There's three seasons at the moment.
Okay.
And
oh, awesome.
And it's really cool. I read Tower of Dawn.
You did. I can't remember what Tower of Dawn actually was about any longer because
last time we said we were going to do a review, and then now it's been so long since we both read it. Maybe we should just say that we loved it.
I loved it. I definitely loved it. I can remember that much.
And
it was about Kale. That's what I remember.
I've always loved Kales. You know, this one was fine with me. and the way that after I also read Court of Frost and Starlight, by the way, I think Sarah J. Maas has this bit of a problem with everyone having to pair up.
She pairs everyone up. But do you remember, she's always said she is a romance reader. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, she reads a lot of classic romances. This is a romance thing. Deep down, I think you'll find, yes, she's got a massive market in this, but I wouldn't be surprised if she comes out and writes another series and it's a romance.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically a romance. I mean,
it is
in a fantasy setting.
It is, but like, I feel like she's getting more and more that way, and it wouldn't strike me if eventually she does just release a romance.
Yep.
I could be wrong. A fantasy romance still, but a romance.
Yeah.
Hey, look, the romance market is bigger than the YA market.
Oh,
it sells, it sells a lot. I can't get over it.
And all over the world, not just in America.
No, but they've got those terrible covers.
They do.
They've always got terrible covers.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that was... I can't wait for the final book to come out. And I think it's now October.
I'm going to have to do a reread. Look, she just had a baby. She literally just had a baby.
Yes, congratulations. She just had a baby.
And the baby was very cute.
Of course.
As all babies are, but still. Yes.
So, yeah, we can't really complain.
No, I can't. We can't push. That would be mean.
No.
And to be honest, I wouldn't be writing or finishing another novel for an October release date if I had just had a baby in June.
Well, I'm hoping that it's just about ready to go by now. Like,
oh gosh, you would have to hope so, right?
Especially if she knew there was a baby coming.
But it kind of, all the oxytocin and love hormones, Court of Frost and Starlight makes more sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, maybe we should talk about that. Okay, so neither of us liked that one
as
much as...
we liked it. We didn't love it. It's probably the weakest of all the books she's written.
Yeah,
I feel.
You know what it felt like to me? I may have told you this already, but it was like, you know, I read a lot of fan fiction at the moment and for a while now. It felt like the Christmas fanfic that somebody wrote after the end of the last series. Like nothing happened. It was just fluffy.
No, it was
fluffy stuff.
It was like putting on a big nice blankie.
Yeah, with comfortable, familiar characters.
And watching a trashy reality TV show on TV. Like, that's really the quote. There's nothing highbrow about this. The writing was okay, but there was nothing... like, the story and the plot just didn't...
Yeah, I thought the bit with where she goes into town and she finds that painting with the void in it or whatever, that was cool. That was... she said in her in her newsletter thing, she said that part was really important to her, and it was because she just almost lost her dad to a heart attack, and she found a hope because he was fine. And I was like, oh, that was, you know, a bit heartstringy, but the rest of it was a bit
I just felt like, you know, she's gonna have to do a spin-off series with Lucien after all the revelations. Surely, I feel like there's a spin-off series, or there's a whole extra trilogy in there.
Yeah, there is more coming.
But I feel like, look, they made it very clear that this whole mating bond thing is, like, non-negotiable. You can't really go against it.
Yeah.
And yet they made it very clear, I think at the end of book two, that both of Feyre's sisters are now mated.
Yeah.
However, like, you know, the series finished, they're still not going anywhere with it. And I thought that some progression was going to be made with at least one of the sisters. And I just got really irritated with both of them.
Yeah, that's true. Nothing really happened at the end of that.
Well, Cassian's putting up with way too much, as far as I'm concerned.
I thought Nesta was actually going to come good at the end, or, you know, well, at least something. But she just didn't.
I just feel like she needs to be cut out. Like, she's become an irritating character now. Okay. Like, do you know what I mean?
I was really hoping that we'd have a bit more development, but all I got from her was just, what is going on with her? Like, that's
exactly. So if she's going to be a mess, there are some humans in life that just are messes. Let's be honest, but let's not keep writing about them because it's just giving them an excuse to continue being a mess. Anyway,
that's pretty harsh. But
yeah, but it's not a real person, so I feel like I'm allowed to be harsh. Do you know what I mean?
Not enjoyable to read about.
It's not enjoyable to read about. I'm kind of like, I don't want these sorts of people in my real life. I don't want to read about these sorts of people.
You have to have unlikable people so that you like
unlikable people more. Yes, but unlikable people still need some growth and development, and this has got no growth and development. This is just irritating.
Fair point.
Look, I still enjoyed just finding out about them because, you know, I did like the series, but yeah, it was a bit weak, really.
I don't know if she's going to write another one before. Haven't heard any news about that for a while.
No, and I'm willing to give her some time. I know America's not big on giving women time after they have a baby, but I'm willing to give her some time.
Oh, good.
To enjoy the baby. Generous. I hope that's the least anyone can do, but yeah.
As an author, you probably have more leeway than a lot of people for having time with your baby before you... I mean, you can work here and there. You don't have to, you know, sit at a desk.
Your brain never recovers. Every baby sucks out 5% of your brain or something.
Quite literally. That makes me feel so much better.
Well, it explains things. That's what I think. I'm like, well, that makes sense.
All right. Well, tell me what you've been reading. I know you've been reading a lot more than me.
Oh, yes. Yes. So I have read a lot for all my too busy to go anywhere. That doesn't stop me. Doesn't stop me from procrastinating uni work with reading like there's no tomorrow. Yeah. So I think last time we met, a long, long time ago, I'd read Tempest and Slaughter by Tamora Pierce and realised that this was like a prequel to a whole stack of books that she had written.
Yeah.
And I'd never read anything by her before. Anyway, at the time I was like, oh, there's too many books. I couldn't touch them. It's too much to start with. But I did start... them, and I ended up, because I was borrowing them through the library overdrive, and I ended up in these mad competitions with like two or three other people because we were all trying to get there, and I ended up just because of that, I'd have so many of them on hold, I'd just be reading whatever I got. So I ended up reading.
You read them out
of order? No. Oh, okay. I didn't end up reading them out of order, but I got strategic with my putting on hold, and I put lots on hold knowing I could read when I realized that the other people were slower than me at reading them. So anyway, sorry whoever else on overdrive was trying to read them at the same time as me if I just then took a whole stack of them. But I read about 20-something Tamora Pierce books.
That's crazy.
They're very small. They're not long novels because it was written before – most of these were written before Harry Potter got popular. So back then, children's books weren't allowed to be more than a certain number of pages type thing. Okay. So, you know, yeah. And they're quite simplistic, but they were really fun and they were really feminist and I really enjoyed them. Really enjoyed them. So
they're from like the 80s and 90s?
Yeah, she started them in the 80s. And I just think I'm really, really impressed at some of the topics and bits and pieces that she covered because some of it's a bit risque. Like, you know, in one of them, I don't know, it was really strong girl power feel about it before that was a big deal. And that's what I think I really liked. Like, and in one of them, you know, she kind of likes someone and she's thinking that they're going to hook up, but she doesn't want any kids or anything. And they have magic, obviously, in the series. And you can get like it. No one has kids unless they actually want children because you can get a charm and wear it. And, you know, and I mean, a lot of, you know, Bible Belt USA was really horrified and all the books ostracized. Right. But I don't know. I didn't feel like it touched anything in a very terrible way. It was just practical. There was a lot of practical bits that were very pro-women. I don't know. I really liked it.
It's
really
YA it. Kind of directed or, I mean, before, it's like, before YA was a thing.
It is YA in some ways because she definitely sleeps with people, though it's not a big deal in the book. Like, you don't have any sex scenes, but it's very clear that she... like, especially in the first series, she definitely sleeps with somebody.
Okay.
But it's still very simplistic stories because I think they had to be marketed as children's books back then. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Wow. Okay. They definitely were not adult books. They're definitely more on the children's. But it would have been YA before YA had a name. That's what it was. Hence why it was probably really popular at the time. I just can't believe I never read them.
Then
after Harry Potter got released in the last, like, because they're quartets, I think there's four quartets, and the last quartet is much more complicated. Actually, no, the last one, there was only two books, but they were bigger books. So she basically did her quartet as a duology,
right,
because she was allowed to, thanks to her, because she gives a big thanks to J.K. Rowling in her acknowledgement, saying thank you for showing publishers that, you know, YA doesn't need to be, or children's books don't need to be more, sure, you know, they can be more than 150 pages long type thing.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so that was, I'm very glad I read them. They were good fun.
I'm gonna have to give them a
fun. They're really good, yeah. So that was 20-something books, I think. There was five quartets, something like that. There was a lot, yeah. Then I did The Court in Frost and Starlight, which we just talked about. And then more recently I read The Fates Divide by Veronica Roth, which is the final in her duology, which started with Carver Mark.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So I was a bit disappointed. I didn't know starting it that it was a duology. And to be honest, I feel like it should have been a trilogy, because I felt that perhaps things got wrapped up a little bit too quickly. And some things weren't really, even though they were a big sort of pivotal thing that you sort of heard about from the beginning, it then could have just got brushed off and finished with, like their fates and things like that, which I was a bit disappointed in. I really liked Carve the Mark. I'm in the minority. Everybody else seems to dislike it because of all of its political standpoints that they reckon it made, which I disagree with. But I really liked it. This one, however, unfortunately, I just think fell flat. Like, the writing was good. It just, it could have been three books and been fleshed out more.
Okay.
But they didn't. They left it as two. So it was kind of nice knowing that the series is finished and I don't have to wait another year for the final. But yeah, I felt that there were some really big ideas that didn't really get to be filled out properly, which was a bit sad.
Okay.
Bit sad. Very different to Divergent series.
Yeah.
Like very, very different to Divergent.
Did you read it or did you listen to it?
I read it.
Okay.
I've been listening to Obsidio for a very long time.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. A very long time, and falling asleep way too quickly. I also just read the other day, and I read it in a day. It wasn't a very long book, and that was the new Gail Forman book, which isn't my normal reading because it's very much it's not fantasy. Noir, it's kind of no. It's contemporary. It's just contemporary YA. So that's I've Lost My Way by Gail Forman. And that was, so it wasn't as good as If I Stay. It wasn't in that vein, I didn't think. But I found it quite unique because it is very current contemporary. And one of the characters is, you know, feeling all the pressures of becoming a celebrity music. But she started off as a YouTube built her name, so you do you know what I mean? Yeah, like started off amateur, got really popular, and so that was really interesting because I guess there's more of that happening probably in the world right now than I'm around, but yeah, it was totally outside of my knowledge base and I felt a bit old, but it was still interesting to read about. So there we go. And then so currently I've been listening to Obsidio for a long, long time.
I need to read it.
I can't say that I'm loving it, but I don't think it's any fault of the books. I think I've just been putting it on with a 15-minute sleep timer and not remembering more than a couple of minutes virtually every night for what feels like months. I'm nearly there. I'm 91%.
Oh, wow. 91%.
I can't quite work out what's been happening, so I might have to go back a bit and try again. But yeah, and I'm assuming there's another one. I don't feel like this is going to finish it.
No, this is the end.
This is the final for all of them forever. Are you sure?
Because
I don't.
The finale, look.
Okay, all right. I just can't quite work out how this is going to tie up with where they are at the beginning. I can't work out, and I don't know if it's because I've fallen asleep and missed stuff.
Yeah,
and
maybe you have.
Do you know what I mean? Anyway, there's still.
You'll find out.
The last 9% is still a fair bit because it's a big book. Yeah. And then I started reading Legendary by Stephanie Garber, which is the follow-up to Caravelle, told from the alternate sister, the other sister's side, which I didn't realize at first because it's been a while and I have to admit I kind of forgot the story because It wasn't that I disliked it. I just didn't love it. And it wasn't Night Circus. I don't care what people want to say. Yeah, I think
we talked about it.
I think we got really excited that it was going to be a Night Circus, and it wasn't.
We reviewed it on an episode we did. Last year.
We did. But anyway, it did have a pre-cover, and I thought I'd read it.
Good reason.
And, it took me – I had to think back and then work out just a second. This doesn't seem like the same sister. It's a different sister. Okay, that makes more sense now, but I just – I don't remember enough about it to really know if I've missed something, but it's all very dangerous seeming.
Okay. I remember from the first one. It was very mysterious.
Considering it was only a game in the first one, it felt very serious. And this one, it's not really a game. And they told that in the first clue. And I'm like, oh. And now they're all wondering, is it a game? Is it not a game? Right, what's going on?
Yeah.
The fates have come to life. Okay.
Well, I'll wait and see what you think of it before I give it a go.
Maybe. I'm hoping this is better than the first one.
Okay.
I'm hoping. We'll see. I have hopes.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's not confused me yet. I felt that some of the story wasn't very clear.
With the Caravelle, the first one.
Just got a bit too, like her responses, reactions weren't right for something that was a game. And do you know what I mean? And I just, I'm hoping this one sort of is a bit better, but we will see.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, that's what I'm reading at the moment.
Cool. Oh, no, I saw the other day on your Instagram you had a great big list of books coming up.
I've got some books, yes. I've got quite a few that I'm keen to read. So I think I had this down last time and I had the audio book and it ran out before I got a chance to read it because Obsidio has taken me for so long. But I've re-reserved it and finally got again, The Cruel Prince by Holly Black.
Yep.
So... hopefully I get onto that once I finish Obsidio before it expires on me again.
Yes.
Because I got just enough into it before it expired that I was like, I got about 10% through it. It was enough for me to go, oh, I think this is actually pretty good sounding. And I've it's got very good ratings. So many people ratings.
Say they loved it. Yeah. I actually bought it from the library like probably a month ago and I had to take it back because someone else had a hold on it.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to read it.
Yeah. So that's basically what happened. The borrow box ran out. I wasn't allowed to extend...
Yeah.
Extended anymore and then it was reserved again for I couldn't get it again for like over a month and a half or something.
Audiobooks from the library is they actually delete themselves off your device too. So you can't even like, you know, hoard it for a few days until you've finished it. It's just gone.
That's right. That's right. And then I got for my birthday back in April, Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi. Which I haven't read yet, so I'm hoping to read that as well.
I've got that one too. It looks so good.
And it gets rave reviews as well, so.
I've got such a big to-read pile.
I know. I know.
When I look at my bookshelf, it gives me anxiety.
It shouldn't. I don't know how to get around this. I feel like reading has always been such a pleasurable activity. It's not right when it gives you anxiety.
I know, and now that we know... I think we've got the expanded kind of world of the book community, we've got so many new books that we want to read. It's just
that's right. So and hard. I think back when I was in high school or first time around at uni, I didn't know what was coming out 6 months in advance. Like I feel in some ways a bit surreal because even though I've really taken a step back, I'm not really requesting review books or anything like that. I still am aware of stuff that's coming out in 6 months' time, and I feel that. In a way, I'm not excited by the time they come out of life, like in the books, because I feel like you've heard so much about it or seen it. Or...
Some books are like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not feeling that as much since I've really taken a step back on that.
Yeah, okay.
But
I think back then when we were at school or whatever, you just go to the library and see what was there and you just buy the next thing. It was always an
exciting, magical thing when you just randomly you just found a book and went, ooh, this looks good.
Yeah, and now it's like I have a pile of books that I need. That I haven't read that I own, so I don't have to take them back because that just caused me worry while I see them sitting there.
One day when I have a room that can be a library / my room, I have to probably move out of the area I'm in now to ever afford a place big enough to have that. But one day I will, right?
Yeah, one day, yeah.
That would be nice.
Yes.
Then my book buying habits will re-kick in. Now I have to be too strategic about what I actually buy because I just don't have anywhere to store it.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, do you want to do Trivial Pursuit?
All right. Okay.
Let's stop talking about books that we want to read and
No, I have held off. I've been reading Caitlin a lot recently. For the first time in her life, at 7, she has finally gotten into the I enjoy being read to as I'm going to sleep thing. Oh. It's taken years.
Yeah.
And now she's really fixated on it. Except that's the good. Problem. It is good. But it's funny because I thought I'd go, because she's old enough now, I thought I'd go straight into Harry Potter, but I haven't, and I've been letting her pick.
Okay, because she's seen the movies, right?
She's seen the first four. I won't let her watch the rest of the movies.
Yeah.
She's seen the first four. I felt we were to stop at 4 until she got older. I'm okay with her waiting for Harry Potter, I've decided, because I feel that, you know, there's some really adult concepts later on, and I'd like her to fully appreciate those. And I think the 7-year-olds that read them all now, do they really get that those concepts? Are they really getting the full magic of Harry Potter?
I don't know. They might be able to read it later again.
Maybe, sort of, but then you have to hope that they love reading enough that they do that.
Yeah.
I'm feeling hope, though. The fact that she's letting me read to her is good.
Yeah, that is good.
That is a sign that she will maybe one day want to read to herself. When Evie gets bigger, I strongly recommend the Ivy and Bean series. At first I read the first one, I was like, I don't know about this Bean character. She's a bit too naughty for my liking. But do you know what? I sit there and I'm cracking up with some of these.
Really?
Yes. So they had a book where they had to, they were reading about ballet, and they were reading about these, you know, evil ghost type things in this ballet. And I'm like, we have to join ballet, beg their mums. And their mums were like, if you join, you must go for the year and you must not complain. No complaints, and you will be in the performance. And I'm like, of course. And then within the first episode, they're looking at each other going, oh, we've made a horrible mistake, because they're just not that type of girl. But it was just, I was laughing as an adult, thinking you could just so realistic. See. It did.
Yes.
I was just like, oh, this is, Kayla was like, why is it that funny? Like, it just really is funny.
Yeah. All right, okay, so there's two ways we can do this. We can either actually roll the dice and pick and the colour,
okay.
Or we can just choose
a
question. So
we've got actual subjects here,
so
people.
We've got animals and magic creatures.
We've got the dark arts.
Magical people.
Magic and potions.
Hogwarts or magical objects.
No, let's roll the dice. Let's leave it up to the fates of Harry Potter.
I'm trying not to make this too loud on the recording. Do you want to go first?
Okay.
Yeah, you go first and then I'll...
Blue. What subject's
Hogwarts.
That? Hogwarts. A generalist. I'm a generalist. Let's see how we go.
Here we go. In which part of Hogwarts Castle does the troll find Hermione before Harry and Ron come to the rescue?
Isn't it in the girls' bathroom? But I don't know what floor. The
girls' bathroom is the correct answer.
Oh, yes. So,
yay.
Okay. Woohoo.
Yellow for me.
Okay. So this is magical people.
Okay.
What is the full name of the driver of the night bus? I only know the first name.
Oh, no.
I knew the first name.
He's like a Jamaican type guy.
That's from the movie. You've just added the movie thoughts onto the...
I know the actual book.
I don't think in the book he's Jamaican.
Just thinking about it.
It's
not even the driver. That's just the
crazy
guy.
Oh, Jamaican.
My God. No, it's all blurring into one. No, I don't know the answer.
Do you know the first name?
No.
I'm very proud of myself because I knew the first name. Ernie Prang. Oh. I didn't know Prang, but I knew it was
difficult.
Ernie.
Difficult. Okay.
All right.
One to you.
Pink. Oh, yeah, you'd be able to get that one.
Magical spells and potions.
Oh, dear.
What spell does Ron use to knock out the troll loose in Hogwarts Castle?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Yes!
I just keep getting this one. Yes, he does, because he doesn't know anything and they were practicing it and he was
terrible
at it.
That's the only one he knows.
Yes, that's right.
You've got a better memory than I have. Jeez, okay. Ready? Orange.
So this is magical objects. Oh, I know the answer to this one too. Maybe I'm better at this than I thought.
Yeah.
What object in the Weasley's house shows the location and status of each family member?
It's the clock, the
That's
grandfather
right.
clock.
Right.
Yay. Okay.
Orange for me too.
Okay. magical objects. How do the students open the monster book of monsters?
They have to stroke the spine.
Yes. Very good. I like this. I could play this with the kids for sure after we've, you know, read the books, watched the movies. Pink for me.
Cool. Okay, so this is magical spells and potions. How long does the Polyjuice potion take Hermione to brew when the trio want to use it to interrogate Draco Malfoy during their second year? I think I know.
It's a long time.
Oh, no, that was longer than I thought. Just gave you a hint there.
Yeah. Like weeks? Like 6 weeks?
Close. It was a month.
A month. Oh, okay.
I thought it was 3 days for some reason.
No, I knew it was a long time.
Maybe it lasted 3 days or something. I don't know.
No, it only lasted a couple of hours. Oh. Like,
I don't know.
Because they turned back in the common room.
Blue. I've got another. I want a dark arts question.
Hogwarts. What subject does Charity Burbage teach?
Charity Burbage? I feel like it has to be something like elocution, but I don't actually know. Charity Burbage. I can't even remember that teacher.
No, I can't either.
This isn't the, like, no, it's not the teacher that teaches the herbology, is it?
No.
No, she's a different teacher. Charity Burbage.
One more guess and then you're out.
I don't know. It must be something that Ron and Harry don't take.
Muggle studies.
Muggle studies. Never would have guessed that one. I don't talk enough about Muggle studies.
No, only Ron's dad. Purple. Ooh, dark arts. Oh,
a dark arts question. Who kills Sirius Black during the battle at the Ministry of Magic?
Is it... oh, God. Her name's just flown out of my head. The nasty woman.
Well, you've got the sex of the person correct. Yes.
What's her name? Bellatrix Lestrange.
Yes.
Yay. Oh, I don't know why her name just flipped it out of my head then. Oh, okay. Here we go.
Pink again, man. Okay.
Pink magical spells and potions. What spell does Hermione use to freeze the Cornish pixies after they wreak havoc in Professor Lockhart's classroom?
No idea. I can't think of what it's called. It's going to be something really obvious.
It's called Immobilis.
Immobilis, yeah, no, okay. All right, no, I didn't know that, though.
I probably wouldn't have guessed that. I would have said it was one that made them all freeze.
Yeah.
Don't know Latin, will I? Purple, more dark arts for me.
Okay. Which one of the Weasleys dies in the Battle of Hogwarts?
Oh, that would be Fred?
Yes. Oh, God. I was like, it's one of the twins. I can't remember which.
How many have you got right?
Three.
Okay, we're three apiece.
Okay.
This one, first person to
green.
Six wins.
What's green?
Animals and magical creatures.
Am I going to know this?
Yes, because you just answered it. What kind of creature attacks Hermione in the girls' toilets?
The troll.
A troll. You're a troll.
What's with me and the troll questions?
Orange. Magical objects.
Have we had this? All right. The ghosts of which of Harry's loved ones appear when he uses the resurrection stone?
His parents.
And it's more Sirius. Than just two.
Oh.
And there's four.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, his mum and dad and Sirius and Dumbledore? No, I can't remember who the fourth person is.
The resurrection stone. So is this... The Resurrection Stone, that's right at the end?
Yeah, that's in the last book, right? Or at least...
It's been a long time. Yeah, okay, it is right at the very end. Do you want me to tell you who the last one is?
Yeah.
Lupin.
Remus Lupin. Okay.
I forgot that he died.
Oh. So I don't get that one?
No, you only got 3 out of 4.
Okay.
Hey, look, I'm going to get some lead on you here. Oh, gosh, I've got another creature one.
What magical creature do Harry and Draco find dead in the Forbidden Forest?
A unicorn.
Yes.
I'm getting all of book one.
Is that from book one?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Because they go in the very end of book one.
Okay.
He's been using the unicorn blood.
Oh, yeah. God. Right. Pink.
Which potion allows the drinker to temporarily assume the form of someone else?
Polyjuice.
That's got to be right. Yes, it is.
Yay!
Oh gosh, I only need one more.
Okay, one more.
And how many do you need? Two more.
Two more.
Blue.
What's blue?
Hogwarts.
Gosh.
These are tricky, these ones.
During her time as Hogwarts High Inquisitor, which teacher does Professor Umbridge dismiss?
Just a second. During her time as which teacher, doesn't she dismiss Dumbledore? Or does she dismiss somebody else? Isn't Dumbledore dead by then? No, because book five she becomes... Dolores Umbridge is a teacher and then Dumbledore leaves and she takes over in book five.
Okay. But
does she dismiss somebody else?
Yes, I'll give you one more chance to get the answer.
Is it Lupin?
No, it's not Lupin.
Damn it. No, Lupin's gone actually in book three. Who was it?
It's Professor Trelawney.
Oh, yes, yes. No, she does too. Yep. Okay. All right. That's all right.
Oh, I'm still in with a chance.
Yeah, these blue ones are tricky.
They are tricky. I'll go for yellow. Magical people. Oh dear, I'm bad at this.
Wait, which Death Eater is kidnapping a hooded Ollivander from Diagon Alley?
Oh, I don't know their names. That's hard.
This is the end.
I can see the movie guy in my head, but I don't remember his name. No, don't know.
Oh, Fenrir Greyback.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, that wasn't who I was thinking of. Okay.
Green.
Green. A hippogriff has the body, hind legs and tail of a horse and the wings and head of what creature?
A griffin? Is that right? A hippogriff? No, no, no. Or is it eagle?
It's an eagle. I will give you eagle since it's your second choice.
I was thinking griffin isn't a real creature, so it's not really going to be that, is it? Guess what that means? I win.
You won. Because I've got very six good. Cards. Very good.
Even though three of mine all related to the one scene.
Yes. I think there was a bit of... fortuitous card choosing there. But anyway.
We should have done some shuffling of the deck clearly beforehand.
Oh, that was fun. No, these are, it was. Some of them are hard and some of them are easier.
The Hogwarts ones are quite tricky.
Yes, they are. And the people ones. The people ones tend to be.
Oh, yeah. Which team plays in the 402nd Quidditch World Cup final?
Oh.
Ireland and Bulgaria.
Oh, of course. Never have known. Yeah.
Still, I would never have remembered that.
That's the game they go to. What are the initials of Harry's oldest son?
Well, is it Albus?
Albus is his second son.
So, I don't remember.
It's James, isn't it? James Severus. So,
James Severus J-S-P. And then Albus. Yep. Okay. Oh, there you go. Well, I figure I've got a reread of this eventually coming up with one of the girls, right?
Yep.
To keep it strong, keep the magic
alive.
And then we'll
have to try again. No, thank you for that. That was good.
That was good. And I am the declared winner.
You are. You can have a cookie as your prize.
Yay. I've already had two. Probably shouldn't have a third.
No, probably
not. Not with that many chocolate chips in it anyway.
They are good cookies. All right. I think that's all we've got to talk about today.
I think that's probably long enough.
Yes. So if you want to send us any feedback, you can do that by emailing us at contact@teaandthetreetops.com or you can tweet us at teatreetops or at Oak and Bookcase.
You can also find a list of all the books and other things we've talked about in this episode, as well as all of our book reviews at the Tea in the Treetops blog, teaandthetreetops.com. Thanks so much for listening.
And we'll see you again hopefully soon.
Has
sooner
to be
rather than
the next
later.
3 weeks before I go back to Prague.
We'll work it out.
We'll try.
Bye.